If you would be so kind, please go to the Lord in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the sweet songs of Zion. I thank you for the men and women who come out here on Sunday mornings, Lord, seeking a message from you, dear Heavenly Father. We're asking today that you'll speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, our souls, our spirits, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, let us know what you would have us to do as a church. Let us know what you would have us to do as an individual. Let us know what you would have us to do as a nation. So to that end, with all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up that someone might say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. These last few weeks, we've been in the book of Daniel. And we started with chapter 1. And today we come to the close. Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision of a statue. And the statue of gold, the Bible told him that he was the head of gold. Babylon was the greatest civilization. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king in the history of mankind, bar none. And that was something that God gave him as a gift. But now today we kind of wind down as we come to the end of the image, the top of the image, where the head of gold reigned, which was the beginning of the time of the Gentiles, which still goes on for some time more. But this is the beginning of the time of the Gentiles, and we're going to see the closing out of the kingdom of Babylon. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from this. We're going to talk about the high price of pride. The high price of pride. Pride has been a scourge throughout all the history of mankind. Pride has caused families to break up, caused nations to break up. It even started with Cain and Abel, one wanting the attention that the other was getting. The Bible says that the thing that happened to Satan got lifted up in pride. He had a high position in God's kingdom, but he got lifted up in pride, and it caused him to lose everything. We see it in our everyday lives where people let pride is an arrogance. Pride is when you attribute to yourself that which you should be attributing to God. When you ever watch a football game and you see a guy make a tackle, his teammates almost can't come and congratulate him because he's so busy patting himself on the back. He's just filled with himself. And you get to the point to where you can't even watch it. You can't enjoy it because you would love to congratulate somebody, but they're so busy congratulating themselves. And because our society has been telling us over and over again, our problem is we don't think enough of ourselves. So you have to understand, if our society tells you that your problem is you don't think enough of yourself, it's probably unbiblical. God says pride is our greatest problem. We think too highly of ourselves and not enough of him. Pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When he talks about that haughty spirit, he's talking about an attitude of I'm all that plus. I'm all that plus. And we're going to see in these chapters that we read that we're going to go through today in chapter 5, in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 17 through 28, we're going to see the Proverbs lived out, fleshed out in reality. When it says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit, that arrogance that I am all that. You're just looking for a fall, and you're waiting for a fall. Let's go to chapter 5 of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 28. The book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 28. And it reads in the King James Bible. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou, King, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, O son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. First, I'm going to give you a little technical something that I think everybody here needs to know, because on our Friday night movie nights and on just all through scripture, we want the church to understand that God's word is true. Start with the Bible. Always start with the Bible. If you want to see if anything else is true, start with the Bible to go see if that book is true. Don't start with that book and then go see if the Bible is true. You're going in the wrong direction. Amen? Okay. Up until 1924, people actually disputed whether the book of Daniel was written by Daniel. And this chapter in particular, chapter 5, because tradition, Jewish tradition, has attributed the whole book to Daniel. And the reason that the world doesn't want to accept the whole book is because there's so much prophecy. There's so many things in the book of Daniel that tell you what is going to come. In fact, what's going to happen later on. They said it couldn't possibly be. Because according to science, you cannot know what's going to happen before it's going to happen. But Daniel categorically wrote these things out, and Bible scholars challenged it. They said it cannot be, because there was no such king known as Belshazzar in the history of the Babylonian kingdom. Was not there. They had never found any evidence for it, and they just rejected it. Well, guess what? They dug up some ancient ruins, and they found on the ancient ruins the name King Belshazzar. Well, I know what that looks like, but it might not be right. See, because the critics, and some of them are in the church, y'all. Don't forget, not everybody who's in the church believes the Bible. Please don't fool yourself. Satan's got his boys in the pulpit too. So don't fool yourself. 1924, y'all, was when most of them finally started saying, well, this is probably true. But they had another problem with the book of Daniel as well. See, because in the book of Daniel, as we're going to get to in the latter part of it, Daniel says to Belshazzar, King Belshazzar, says to Daniel, he said, if you can interpret this writing on the wall for me, I will make you the third in the kingdom. Now, wait a minute. He's talking to the king. But he says he's going to make you the third in the kingdom. Why not the second in the kingdom? Again, the critics of Daniel's book says, see there? Can't be. What's this thing about the third? Well, it wasn't till right around in the late 1800s, 1924, in that era, where somebody discovered these ancient writings. And guess what they found out? They found out that that Belshazzar's daddy was out on a 10-year-long mission setting up another fortress in another part of Arabia. And when he left his oldest son, Belshazzar, in charge. He gave him all the authority of being the king of Babylon. They were co-regents. The father and the son were co-regents. So when the son said to Daniel, I will make you third in the kingdom, it's because here's daddy, here's me, here's you. I just wanted y'all to hear those technical things because the world, and I'm talking people who profess to be Christians, they still don't accept the fact that Daniel is written for Bible prophecy and that you can understand, you can trust the word of God. Start with the Bible and then work your way out. Amen? Okay. Let's talk about this issue of pride and the price. Pride has a price. Pride has a cause, and pride has a cure. Thank God pride has a cure because so many of us suffer from it. But pride does have a cure, so we don't leave you without hope. But it says pride has a price. At the start of this chapter, chapter 5, King Belshazzar, his nation is under siege. His nation has been under siege for several years. But he decides that while his nation is under siege, since they've been able to withstand all the powers that were coming at them because they had these walled cities, I'm talking walled cities that chariots could ride across the top abreast of each other. They had 20 years food supply inside of the castle walls. It was an absolute impregnable castle. The city was impenetrable. And so, since he figured he had it all together like that, why not have a party? The Medes and the Persians are outside. They've been outside for years. They can't get in. We got water coming in underneath the castle walls. They can't get in here if they wanted to. We are so set. Let's have a party. And then what he did was he called his servants. And he said, go and get the golden vessels that my father, it says father in the King James Bible, but it means, if you translate it properly, it means grandfather. Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather. And it says, go and get the golden vessels that my grandfather had. And he stashed them away. See, because when you turn your Bibles to Daniel, chapter 1, verse 2. Daniel chapter 1, verse 2. It says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. King Nebuchadnezzar was a God-fearing person. He didn't know the one true and living God, but he was a God-fearing person. Folks, whenever you run into a God-fearing person, you have a good chance of being able to talk to him about the things of God. Because the Bible says if you're trying to witness to a person who's an unbeliever, the Bible says you're talking to a fool. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But if God puts somebody in your path who just doesn't know who the right God is, if he puts a Muslim in your path or a Hindu or a Buddhist, somebody who knows there is a God, they just don't have the right God, you got some ground to start with. Nebuchadnezzar, when he took the vessels of gold out of the house of the true and living God, he took half the vessels and he put them into a safe place with the house where he housed the special stuff for his gods. Now, he didn't have the right God, but at least he was a God-fearer. But I want you to go back to chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1. And you see what Belshazzar, while he's having this party for his friends, he said, hey, go get that stuff. Go get the good silver. Go get the good plates. Go get the good goblets that have been set aside you know, we're going to party with the, see, this is called sacrilege. This is called sacrilege. Sacrilege is when you take something that is holy, something that's been set aside, and you don't give it the respect that is due. You don't give it any, you don't give God's stuff any special due, anything. This building is brick and mortar. It was brick and mortar until we put God's name on this building. That's what set this brick and mortar aside from other brick and mortar. This book is a holy book. That's why you don't take this book and do the things that you might do with another book, tear it up to whatever. It's holy. There's some vessels that we use here at the church for our communion service. We don't use them for anything else because they're set aside. Well, it's just a cup. No, it's not just a cup. Once you dedicate it to God's service, it's holy. And somewhere down the line, we have got to start teaching our children, because some of us don't know it ourselves as adults. We don't even know. You treat God's stuff like it's holy. You treat it different. You don't come in the sanctuary. You don't come in God's house and put your foot up on a chair to tie your shoe. You don't do that. You don't come into God's house talking any old kind of way like what you would out on the street. You don't do that. Parents, teach your children. This is God's house. You know why? You know why people? Why they used to say, "Go home and put on your Sunday. Go to meetings." Old term school. Go home and put on your Sunday. Go to meetings. That comes from the book of Exodus. That comes from when God told Moses, when the people said, "We want to talk with God. We want to meet God." And so God said, "I tell you what. That sounds like a good idea. Tell them to come onto the mountain and we'll talk." God thought it was a wonderful idea, y'all. And God said, but here's what I want you to do. You tell them to wash their clothes and put on their best clothes and then come to talk to me. Husbands, stay away from your wives. Wives, stay away from your husbands. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart and then come to talk to me. Because I'm holy. I'm holy. Now, did he say you couldn't wear old clothes? Did he say you couldn't dress? You couldn't, if you didn't own such and such? He said, whatever you got, give me your best. That's what he said. So when you come into Good Shepherd Baptist Church, you might be in a pair of shorts. If that's all you got, you come, but you clean them. And you give God your best. Whatever your best is. And the Bible does say, come just as you are. But the Bible tells us, do not stay like you came. We are commanded to grow and learn and do more and do better. Amen. When you know better, aren't you supposed to do better? Okay, so people don't be saying, well, my son, he likes wearing holes in his pants and coming to church. Well, he don't have any without holes. Put them on him. Give God your best. And if you don't train your child, who going to train them? But Belshazzar, he decided he could do whatever he wanted with God's stuff. He took the goblets of gold, the silver, the plates, and they began to drink and toast one another and have a party, making fun, making joke out of God. I used to hang out with guys when I'd be in the clubs and they'd be making jokes and they'd be lifting high balls and talking about, man, you know, I don't care if I go to hell. When I go to hell, the devil better watch out because I'm going to run that place. Sacrilege. People who don't know what they're talking about. People who don't know the God that they're dealing with.
Belshazzar drank his wine and he had himself he was having a high time. He was living it up really big. He was living really large. And then all of a sudden, one of the strangest things happened. One of the strangest things that you'll ever read in the Bible. A hand. Not a hand attached to a body, attached to an arm. Just a hand. The Bible says the hand appeared and the hand wrote some words on the plaster on the wall. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that'll mess up your high. That would just mess up anything you got going. The Bible says, you know, Belshazzar and his friends, they've been drinking, they've been partying, and all of a sudden, he came to his senses. He said he got shook up because he saw something that he had never seen before. He saw this hand. He saw this hand writing on the wall. And it says his countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him. And it says he was so scared that his knees began to buckle and knocked together. So it wasn't a figment of his imagination, y'all. He saw what he thought he saw. And it says that he was astonished and he was very, very, very much troubled. And as soon as he found that out, he started asking for help. He started asking for somebody to come and help him figure out what did these words mean that he saw on the wall. And we go down to our text scriptures. He had called in all the Chaldeans. He had called in all the astrologers. He had called in all the wise men of Babylon. And he'd asked them, what is this? What is this? What's the meaning of this on the wall? And his mother, the Bible says the queen, more than likely it was his grandmother because he was there getting drunk with all of his wives. And he says she came to him and she said, there's a man in our kingdom named Daniel who your grandfather recognized as a man who understood the ways of God. Brothers and sisters, when your trouble hits, when that troubling time comes in, you best be finding you a godly friend with some godly wisdom. We spend way too much time hanging out and hanging on to the wisdom of fools. We talk to people who have, Lord knows there's enough people on TV that are talking heads. They have nothing to say about anything. No godly wisdom whatsoever. But at least I'll give Belshazzar I'll give him this much. He had enough sense that when his grandma came to him and said, you know what? You need to call on this man. You need to call on this man, Daniel. And that's where we come in on verse 17 of chapter 5. Where we talk about the pride has a price. Pride can cost you everything. It says that Daniel came in. And the king said to him, the king said to Daniel, he said, Daniel, he said, if you can interpret this writing, I will give you this chain of gold and I will make you the third in command in the kingdom. And then Daniel answered him and said to the king, he said, king, let thy gifts be to thyself, give your rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Pride has a price. Daniel went down through this list. And all this list is listed over in chapter 4 of Daniel. And he talks about how King Nebuchadnezzar, his father, his grandfather, gave majesty and glory and honor to God. Belshazzar, he don't care about the things of God. He don't know about the things of God, primarily being because he thinks he's as high as God. all too often when you see folks who have no respect for the things of God, not only do they have no respect for the things of God, they have no respect for any authority. And not only do they have no appreciation of or respect of any authority, they usually want to be the authority. And not only do they want to be the authority, when they become the authority, they want you to have respect for the authority. Belshazzar was the same way. Belshazzar, he says, I'm the king. I'm the man. I'm in charge. But Daniel came and Daniel's explaining to him, let me give you a little history, Belshazzar. You're here drinking out of the king's goblets, the king's plates. Let me give you some history about your grandfather. Your grandfather, who was a God-fearer, he put away the stuff. He put away the stuff because he had respect for God. And your grandfather was even more powerful than you were because when he lifted up who he wanted to lift up, and he slew who he wanted to slew, who he wanted to slay. And in verse 20 it says, but what happened to your grandfather is your situation. Your grandfather was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride. The Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, after all God did for him, God gave him the greatest, made him the most powerful king, lifted him up, made him stronger and more powerful than any king in the history of mankind. And you know what he did? He went into his garden and he stood out on his patio and he said, look at what all I've done. And the Bible says, as he said that, he was smitten by God to where he spent the next 7 years grazing in the grass like an oxen. Brothers and sisters, when we exalt ourselves, when we manage to get a little education, oh, I'm so brilliant. When we manage to get a decent job, oh, I am so sharp. When we manage to save up a little bit of money and get a car, whoa, man. And don't let us have a little bit of good looks to go with it. Because if you do that, man, it's just through. It's just through. And what we end up doing is we end up setting the standard. We end up saying, look at what all, no different than Nebuchadnezzar, saying, look at what all I've done. I got this wife. I got these kids. I got this car. I got this job. And we leave God totally out of the equation. We look at Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. We say, oh, how wicked could he be? How evil could he be? And we're the same way. And I want you to know, since pride has a price, if you want to know why some of our lives are just as shipwrecked as Belshazzar's is getting ready to get, because we refuse to do what God has clearly told us to do. When Daniel is talking to Belshazzar, what he's doing here, he's giving him what I call C marks, kind of like landmarks, but C marks. You have what they call beacons and you have buoys, beacons and buoys. A beacon is a structure that's attached to the ground in a lake or a river or something, and it's there where you can see it. A buoy is a floating marker that's out in the middle of the lake or in the river to keep you. All of these are designed to direct you. The buoys and the beacons are designed to help you make your path and navigate through things that you cannot see. What Daniel is saying to Belshazzar, he said, God gave you some buoys and he gave you some beacons. He gave you some things that you could clearly see, so that you would not sin in the same fashion that your father did. You'll know how to get around these things. The Bible tells us as Christians, God says, I've given you the entire Old Testament. I've given you the entire Old Testament to read so that you might see the pitfalls that you can't see with your eyes, but the things that are coming, if you trust God, you can walk this path. If you don't trust God, you're gonna miss that buoy, you're gonna miss that beacon, and you're gonna make a wrong turn. Daniel told Belshazzar, he said, Belshazzar, your father, your grandfather was lifted up in pride until he was driven out from where he was staying with mankind, and he had to live with the oxen and eat the grass with the dew and the feathers and everything. He was a mess. And he had to do this until such a time that he realized that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. God is saying to each and every person here, until we look at God's word and just say, yes, Lord. Not say, yeah, but. We always got a way of saying, yeah, but. If we can get to the point to where we can say, yes, Lord, that's when those buoys and those beacons will really begin to pay off in our life, because it will help us navigate the seas that we cannot see in this life. But Daniel said to Belshazzar, he said, Belshazzar, God has given you all these things. He let you be in the house of your grandfather, and you saw what took place. And look what he says to him. He says here in verse 22, he goes, and thou, O son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. He said, Belshazzar, you saw everything that took place. You saw how your grandfather was blessed above all the kings of the earth. You saw how he was the absolute total ruler of the entire world. You saw that, but then you also saw when your grandfather was lifted up in pride. You saw that God had to humble him. God had to break him down. And when you saw this, you still decided to let pride come in to your life. And you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. God gave everybody here beacons. He's given everybody here buoys. Everybody. It was your mama. It was your daddy, or it was an auntie, or it was a school teacher. But some people come to me and they say, well, nobody ever taught me how to be a real man, a real father. That's a lie. That's a lie. See, because God put a buoy in your life, even if he put a bad father in your life, he showed you what not to be. If he put a bad mama in your life, she's a beacon. She's a buoy. Now that you're grown, you say, well, you know, my mama this and my daddy this. And you, but if you know that, if you know she's not right, if you know he's not right, then you have to change. But because of pride, because I want my opinion to be as high as God's opinion, I ain't got to listen to him. And then I always want to fall back on, I didn't know. But you can know. God says throughout the entire Bible that you might know, that you might know, that you might know. When you go back to Genesis, we talk about how pride has a cause. How did we get to this point to where we actually think that my opinion is equal to or higher than God's opinion? How do we get to that? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And it reads in the King James Bible. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God, catch that part, which the Lord God said, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, this is the serpent speaking to Eve, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Wait a minute. It says that, who made the serpent, y'all? Not just God. The Lord God. See, the Creator made the creature. The Lord God made the serpent. But look what happens when the serpent starts talking to Eve. He calls him God, not Lord God. Because now, if he's not Lord God, then his opinion is no better than my opinion. It's that way with us as Christians. We call him, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and won't do what I say? Because it's on my lips, but it's not in my heart. Pride. And what happened with Belshazzar, the Bible says that Belshazzar was lifted up in pride. He let his evaluation of himself lift him up to the point to where he's going to commit sacrilege and take the vessels that God had set apart for special work, and he's going to use it for a drunken party. Daniel told him, you have drunk and drunk and drunk and drunk and drunk. And then when you get down to the part, verse 23, at the end of verse 23, it says, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Then the first word of verse 24, then. But I want you to stop, y'all. I want you to stop. He says, you have not glorified God. But if you go back to read about Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar when he interpreted his dream, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, perhaps if you'll change your ways, perhaps if you'll change your ways, God might have mercy on you and change his judgment for you. That's good news. That's good news. See, it's not too late. Because right there where he says, you refuse to glorify God, and then you have a pause between the then. If right now, maybe you are your neighbor, are your children, maybe if you're at that point where you have never been glorifying God, where you have always said, yeah, but, where you have always said, hath God really said? If you're at that point to where you're teetering on going over to the just outright sacrilege and rejection of God's word, if you're at that point before we get to the then, all you got to do is humble yourself and call on the name of the Lord. I don't care how far you've gotten out of line with God. Do you know you can't sin so much that God will not call your name? He'll come. He's in fact, look what the scriptures say. Jesus said, if I got 100, if I got 100, this is why you can't lose your salvation when you belong to Jesus. He says, because if I got 100 and one of you take off and try to get away from me, Jesus said, don't you know I will track you down? Don't you know that's better than being on America's Most Wanted? Don't you know that Jesus, if you fall off into some of the worst, and we can fall off, you know, we get into some pretty nasty stuff. We get some pretty dirty stuff. But don't you know, when just before that then comes in, if you want to stop and give God the glory and give God the praise that he's due, don't you know he's just and faithful to forgive you of all unrighteousness and clean? Don't you know he'll do that for you? But look at what happened with Belshazzar. Look at the price that his pride cost him. His price, the price that his pride cost him, it cost him his kingdom. Because the Bible says that when you knew the sea marks, when you knew the landmarks, when you knew the buoys and the beacons, when you knew these things, you still headlong, stiff neck, went straight ahead and said, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it because I want to do it. Now we're to the then. Now we're to the judgment. Now we're to the judgment. And the Bible says that this hand, not an arm, not a leg, not a body, just a hand, wrote on the wall. And it said, Daniel explained to him what the writing was. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Daniel standing in front of the king, who's the most powerful man on the planet at this time, and Daniel looks at him, and he says, that's what the words say. He said, but now I got to give you the interpretation. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, verse 26, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Because of pride, you have two men, you have two different outcomes with their pride. You have Belshazzar, who the Bible says, when he knew, not he wasn't guessing, he knew what God had done. He knew what God had said. But he refused to glorify God. He refused. And how do you glorify God? Just obeying. Do you have to obey everything that everybody else knows? Not if you don't know it. God judges you on what you know. He goes, if you'll just take what you know and be obedient with what you know, you won't have that heavy judgment coming down on you. But Belshazzar, when he refused to glorify God, the Bible says that God sent him a special message. While he's in the middle of his party, he's in the middle of his party, and God sends him a special message with just the hand. I bet you. Many of y'all have woke up in the middle of the night with a special message from God straight for you. You've been sitting reading the scriptures and you heard a special message just for you. And when you heard it, you came under conviction. You knew God was right. We had a man who came to the men's fellowship. The brother was saying he had been gotten away from God. And he was living with some woman. And he was walking by a church. Walking by a church. And he heard the music. And he went in. And he said, and the preacher started preaching about adultery. Preaching about fornication. He said, I sat there. He said, and the Lord brought me under conviction right there. Right then, right there. He said, I went back home. I said, baby, one of us got to go. she looked at me, have you lost your mind? He said, no, I ain't lost my mind. I found my mind. He said, the word of God spoke. And this is a man who was way grown and had been way disobedient to God. But when that one special message came through to him, before he got to the then, when he understood, when it was clear in his mind, this is what you're called to do. He said, if I don't do nothing else, I'm going to do that. I'm just challenging everybody here. There's something that you know. There might be many somethings that we know. But let's just start small. Just start obeying God. And every time you obey, when it says you glorified him not, that means you didn't obey him. That's not deep. It means you did not obey him. So when you hear that word, when you hear that message, when you read that scripture, he says, obey him. Just obey him and give him the glory. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, lead your family. Children, honor your father and your mother so that your days might be longer. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. My mama's this and my mama's that. He didn't say agree with your mama all the time. He said honor your mama. Yeah, but Pastor, my daddy's the town drunk. He didn't say amen what your daddy's doing. He said give your daddy the honor because if you're still here, at least he didn't kill you. Honor your father and your mother. They might not have been what you wanted them to be, but they're exactly what God wanted them to be. They're your mother and they're your father. Young folks, when God talks to you about keeping, it's not just young folks, it's young and old folks. What am I talking about? When the Bible talks about keeping yourself to yourself, when the Bible talks about being chaste, what does that mean? It's exactly what it says. Being chaste. But Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand that I got these urges. I got these feelings. What does the Bible say? It says flee. It says flee. Because everybody, you know what? God put that in us. Everybody has those feelings, those urges. It's natural to have those feelings and urges. But God says flee. He says, because once you get caught up in that, you can't think straight. And you find yourself in a situation that you really won't be glorifying God at all. So he says, the cause of pride took place in the garden. Started with Satan, the father of pride, the father of sin. Pride is nothing but sin. Belshazzar got lifted up in sin. He got lifted up in pride. And God brought this judgment on him because when he knew better, he wouldn't do better. When you know better, you challenge, you're charged to do better. The good news is pride has a cure. Pride has a cure. Pride has a price. It costs you everything. Cost Belshazzar his entire kingdom. But the cure, you can find the cure when you see how his grandpa responded to his situation. When you turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, you'll see there, Belshazzar, when he had the opportunity to glorify God, he refused to glorify God. But his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, after God humbled him, after God had him grazing in the grass for 7 years, eating the dew of the grass and walling around like a wild animal for 7 years. In verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar gives us the cure. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he will abase. Nebuchadnezzar tells us in verse 34, he says, at the end of the days of wandering around for 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Brothers and sisters, if you're caught up in me, myself, I, my way or the highway, if you're caught up to where you can't give honor to anybody in authority other than yourself, you can't take instructions from anybody because nobody is worthy other than you, you're headed for a prideful fall. But the Bible says, if you look up, not out, Belshazzar looked out for help. He looked to the Chaldeans. He looked to the magicians. He looked to the astrologers. He looked out for help. Nebuchadnezzar, his daddy, said, when I lifted up my eyes, when I looked up to heaven, that's where I found my help. If you got sickness, if you've got needs, if you've got brokenness, don't look out. Look up. Because if you want the cure for pride, you're going to have to look up. How did Belshazzar lose his kingdom? I'm going to tell you how he lost his kingdom. I told you, I started off by telling you that he was having a party. He had been under siege for years, but he was so secure in his horses and the stuff that he had put together. He was so secure in the money that he had in the bank. He was so secure. Well, I've been on this job for 20 years. Surely I can't lose. He was so secure in the things of this world. He did not realize that while he was in his banquet room partying, I told you these walls were wide enough to where they could ride chariots two abreast. I told you they had 20 years worth of food inside of the castle walls. I told you that the river ran right up underneath the castle, so they had water supply constantly coming in. They had it planned out, made perfect. Not trusting in God, trusting in themselves. They were so trusting in themselves that guess what they forgot? They neglected to keep an eye on the Euphrates rivers, which was running right up underneath the city walls, because Darius, his enemy, was outside the city walls and he diverted the water from the river. The Bible said that Belshazzar, when Belshazzar was told that he had been weighed in the balance, that he had been found wanting, and that his kingdom was going to be divided, the Bible says he just took the golden chain and he put it on Daniel like a man in shock. And it said that night, the king was slain. He did not know that the river had been diverted and his enemies marched in under the castle walls, took the city without even a fight. The Bible says Belshazzar lost his place because of pride without a fight. History tells us that Nero, he fiddled while Rome was burning. Some of us right now, our lives are in complete shipwreck. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue down the path you're going now? Are you going to lift your eyes up? Are you going to call on the name of the Lord? Are you going to let that pride get out of the way? Are you going to step out of the way? Are you going to not be a stumbling block for your children? Are you going to not be a stumbling block for your husband? Are you going to not be a stumbling block for your wife? Are you going to let God have his way in your life so that just like Nebuchadnezzar, unlike Belshazzar, who lost everything, Nebuchadnezzar had things added to his kingdom? You got to decide. Are you willing to pay the price that pride is going to cost you? Are you willing to cast that to the side, humble yourself, and call on the name of the Lord? Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless you.